This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listen app.
Live from the Roots and Shoots poop deck.
And here we are. Do you know, I love speaking of poop decks about the weather. You know when they say very windy in the interior?
Yes.
Always gives me a little giggle when I know it's going to be very windy in the interior.
Because you're a pure old child.
I am. And I love it.
But you're not quite as old as your sister, are you?
Oh, no. Now, happy birthday, Bucky. That's my sister, who is enormously older than
she's
me.
She's ancient. I've been hearing about it.
Yeah. She's 4 years older, so incredibly old. Still upright, though.
Very upright. I've met Bucky at various things.
She still gardens like a demon.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Bucky.
Happy birthday, Bucky, from all of the Roots and Shoots crew. The lines are very busy, Ms. Harm. Oh. It's almost like you're popular.
Oh, my God.
And we should get to the business at hand of answering questions. You can do them. I'll facilitate. Mitch is in Frio with a Monstera situation. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning.
Well, so has your Monstera got up legs and moved, or what's going on?
It lost its shade late last summer. I had a massive gum tree over it that became dangerous and I had to prune it a bit.
Yep.
And it struggled. I did send a picture through.
Yes, I've got it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's looking a little bit singed on its nether regions there.
It's burnt.
Now.
It did improve. It did improve over the winter again. But coming next summer, it will lose itself again.
Now, I do have to tell you some good news, Mitch, is I have seen a Monstera in Scarborough in the middle of this massive verge in full sun, full salt wind, and it's magnificent. So your Monstera, you're going to have to put a little, like a shade canopy over it for this summer, and then make sure you take the shade canopy off at the end of March, and it will actually toughen up.
There you go.
Oh,
that's good news. I was going to kill it.
I need a 5 metre shade pot.
Oh, it's that big. Well, I tell you what. It will cope, it will recover, and it will toughen up. So in the meantime, Mitch, go and get yourself a polymer spray that you put on plants for drought and sun. So it's like a sunburn cream for plants. And I'll give you a hint. It will say that it does something for drought.
There you go.
So you get that and you spray it now and it lasts for 6 months.
Good luck with that, Mark, fantastic. And let us know how you go next year. Pip is in Borden. Hello, Pip.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very
What's your
well,
question
Pip.
For Sab?
Sorry?
What's your question for Sab?
Oh, sorry. So my husband and I were at war over the fate of our 50-year-old wisteria. It could be 80 years old. We don't know. It's decades old. And it's stretched, it's got an established arch, and it's stretched about 10 metres along the back fence, and it sent roots into the ground everywhere. So the original root ball and the arch may be in the way of a new project, but I'm desperate to save, you know, the legacy of the plant somehow. So
absolutely.
My question is, are the secondary shoots along the fence likely to be independent? And how do I keep them alive if their mother goes?
As long as they have, so have they got a root system at all? Are they like a sucker?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, those plants have probably been there for years themselves.
Yes. So they will be a replica of the one you've got, and they will survive. So you can take those from the parent plant and then replant them to where you want, and you will still have that plant.
So those shoots can stay where they are, or even the shoots, I can move them?
Yeah, you can move the shoots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it's the original part has to be removed, the shoots can either stay where they are and they will carry on growing, or you dig them up and move them to where you want the wisteria to be.
Do they need any extra love or care, or they'll just kind of...
I would, if you're taking away the mother plant, then I would definitely give them a bit of compost, some fertilizer, some wetting agent, and just give them a little bit more water so that they, you know, they become robust and they will carry on.
Fabulous. Well, this is good news.
Fantastic.
Good luck with that, Pip. Thanks for calling in.
We just saved a marriage.
Gus is in Mandurah. Gus, what's your question for Sabrina?
Good morning, Sabrina. I've got a mulberry tree that's probably older than me, and it's fruited every year. But this year in particular, it's fruited. It's finished fruiting now, but however, you know the mealybugs or Portuguese?
Yes.
When I couldn't visually see them on the fruit.
Yeah.
Well, then when I picked them and then I just wash them and rinse them in a strain or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they started to emerge after some time, but they weren't huge like the black ones where they're about a centimetre long. These were like only about 5 mil long and almost translucent grey, like as if they were young ones.
Yes. Well, that's probably the case.
How do I get rid of the little buggers?
Oh, Gus, you know, mealybug are the very worst thing to try and get rid of. They have such a prolific breeding season. They get down into the smallest crevices. They attach themselves to the root systems of plants as well. And you can, depending on how much is there, you can spray repeatedly on a 2-weekly basis with a potassium soap. You buy it in a liquid form and you mix it up and you spray it, and you've got to make sure it drizzles right down into all the cracks and crevices. So you do that on a fortnightly basis, and in between that you get the high-pressure hose and you blast it as well. So
is this when it's fruiting or prior to fruiting?
You're better off doing that prior to fruiting.
Yeah, because the hose just blasts the
mulberries. That's right.
Off the tree.
Yeah.
This is the first time in, you know, like 15 years.
Yep.
It's ever had them. And I normally, well, not normally, I have them up around the house, you know, because they stick to the walls and, you know.
Oh, so are you sure they're merely bugs?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm just saying is they're not in their full form like a mealybug around the house. It's about an inch long and it's black and, you know, they're attracted by the light, etc.
That's not mealybug.
Well, Portuguese mealybug.
Oh, millipede.
Yeah.
A whole different ball game. Ignore everything I have just said. So you've got
around the house.
Yeah, you've got Portuguese millipede. Yes.
Yeah, but they look like infants. You know, when I pick them, I can't see them. They seem to come out of the berry.
Yeah,
once it's the water's.
Yeah. So that's the larvae. Okay. So what now? They are attracted to the light, you will have noticed. So if you can somehow around the mulberry tree bury in some dishes with a light on it, get it solar light so that the dish of fill it up with water, a little drop of detergent, they will be attracted to that. And you can catch them in their hundreds. So Portuguese millipedes are very active. They move around all the time. They come and they go. Birds won't eat them because they taste really nasty. So trapping or to stop them coming, you can use a surface spray around the house and they won't come into the house. So surface spray you just buy from a hardware store and spray it around the place. But you certainly can't, do not spray the surface spray on your mulberry tree.
Good luck with that, Gus. Hope that sorts it out. Margaret has a question about magpies. Hello, Margaret.
Good morning, Amber and Sabrina.
Good morning, Margaret.
Yes, Sabrina, I've been 65 years in the same street in Rivervale.
Wow.
And you spoke some weeks or even months ago about a disease that was killing magpies, sadly.
Yes, yeah.
And there are no magpies around my area now. There's crows, woolly wagtails, doves, honeyeaters, but no magpies.
No, it really devastated the entire population, and not just in Perth, also down in the southwest. Now, we've been trying to get the CEO of the WA Wildlife Hospital in to give us an update, because I know the autopsies were done on the birds and the organs were sent over east because they didn't have the facilities here to test for all sorts of things, and it caused paralysis of the legs. So we haven't been able to get a diagnosis on it or an update on it, Margaret, but we'll be in contact with the WA Wildlife Hospital and see if Dean can come in and give us any information whatsoever. But like you, Margaret, we had a big population of magpies in Willoughgie, and we lost them all. I think I've seen three.
I just wondered if they were still dying. I just saw one magpie, but
I know, it's so sad. It's
and I love their warbling songs.
I know.
Even very late at night when they should be asleep.
Yeah.
And now we have the crows instead, which isn't quite so lovely.
No, not as corbling and beautiful to wake up to, is it, Margaret?
Margaret, we'll get on to that for you. Thanks for calling in with that question.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Margaret.
Quick rapid round from the text line. Is this chilli thrips? Are chilli thrips the problem here?
Ah, yes. Well, there's a few things going on there. So they've not only got chilli thrips, it also has rose canker, and it's very bad. And it even
this
looks
is
like
from Geraldine in Darken.
Okay, Geraldine, it also looks like herbicide drift, like as in glyphosate, that looks like a glyphosate drift.
Offing.
But it's also got canker and it has thrip. No, I don't like his chances.
And a case of the months.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's triple munted.
So dig it out?
Yep.
Chuck it in the bin?
I would.
Please tell us what the problem is here and what to do to eradicate it. Mancozeb does nothing to stop it. Thanks, says Jerry. And we
Hello,
are looking
Jerry.
At...
Ah, so another rose and it's got black spot. So you'll have to get a specific black spot spray on that. And Mancozeb is not the spray for it. Or is it a camellia?
Actually, I know nothing. I was enthusiastic about opening my mouth, though, wasn't I? Yeah, camellia.
Could be. Oh, so if it's a camellia, you're going to have to use wet. Well, okay. First of all, if it's a rose, it's not a rose, it's a camellia. You will have to get some wettable sulfur onto that or copper oxychloride.
Copper oxychloride.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, see,
so
I can sing.
Blackie spots.
Let's take some more callers.
Let's go to...
Hello, Mr. Kieran, who we met last weekend. Well, I met last weekend.
Oh, you did, yes.
I did. Good morning, Kieran. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Amber, and good morning, Sabrina.
Well, top of the morning, my God. Today's going to be a ripper day to go and visit an open garden, isn't it?
It's going to be fantastic, Sabrina, and the one we've got open today is just, it's beautiful. It's a great property, 2.5 acres in Mahogany Creek. So the address is 2610 Thomas Road in Mahogany Creek, and there'll be signage off Great Eastern Highway so people won't miss it. But fantastic property, as I said, 2.5 acres, 40-plus ornamental trees, got roses, we've got salvias. Stunning flowering at the moment is the crabapple walk. I think there's about 8 or 9 trees in that walk, so that's worth looking at. But just a very lovely property, and the charity they're supporting is the Broken Crayon Still Colour. Which is a charity for domestic violence. So
well
worth supporting, and there's a large raffle for that charity as well, so everyone should take a couple of extra dollars along and support that. But they won't be – what's the word I'm looking for? They'll love the garden.
Yeah, yeah. They won't be disappointed.
They won't be disappointed. That's the word I'm looking for. They won't be
disappointed. Now, so, Kieran, I thought that only happened to me, and you're way too young to have those little gaps in.
The trapdoor of memory opens up.
It does. Sometimes and the words just don't come out.
One feels it in one's bowels, which become loose. Kieran,
I'm glad you're part of a mind reader, anyhow. You knew where I was going to.
Kieran, thanks so much.
Kieran, is it open today and tomorrow?
It's open today and tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
$8, $6 for members, 10 to 4. And in the words of Molly Meldrum, do yourself a favour and go up and have a look.
So 2610 Thomas Road, Misogyny Creek, as I like to call it. 2.5 acres of joy.
It's Kieran, a nice part of the world.
Yeah.
If you don't know where it is, it's just up near Darlington.
There you go, just before Mundaring. Thanks, mate. Speak to
thanks,
you next week.
Kieran.
We have an anonymous caller. I am intrigued. Intrigue me, anonymous.
Hello. Anon.
Hello. I'm calling in with big hat and sunglasses and a fake mask.
Yes, girlfriend.
I can't find anything definitive online. But peony poppies, are we allowed to have them or not?
Yeah. Now, are you talking about poppies or peonies?
Peony poppies.
Yes, poppies. Yes. I've got them in my garden and and I do notice that sometimes young people just stop. They stop by and they bloody pinch all my seeds. But I have enough. So anyway, they're a beautiful plant. And as long as you don't have 6 hectares of it, Anonymous, I reckon you're going to be all right. And I've got a funny story about my poppies, which they just come up in my garden every year.
Nice.
They just come up, and they're such a beautiful flower. And they're you know, the big building boom in the G. The BBG. They had some Afghani chappies working across the road doing brickwork. Anyway, they came over to my verge, because they're all out in the front verge, and said, oh, you have a lovely garden. I said, oh, thank you very much. And one of them said, oh, you know, we grow those plants back at home in Afghanistan. I said, oh, yes, I'm sure you do. And I said, but they've no problem here because you won't get the sap. And he said, oh, yes, you do. And he got, because he had a little veggie knife, and he just did some slicing, and lo and behold. And
everyone felt very happy.
I said, oh, my goodness. He said, oh, now, you must be very careful, because there are some very bad people that really like those plants back home in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, you can,
should.
And I just think no one's going to. You need hectares to do anything illegal with them. So you go right ahead, Anonymous. If you've got the seed, they're a beautiful garden plant.
Good luck with that, and I hope our ASIO voice recognition software. Doesn't report you anywhere. The hat and sunglasses will work. Thank you so much for calling. Oh, so much silliness. Frank is in Busso. Good morning to you, Frank. What's your question for Sabrina?
Morning, girls.
Morning, Frank.
I've got some shallots, garlic and beetroot.
Yep.
And I was wondering whether you bend the stalks or cut the stalks to promote growth in the bulb?
No, because it's the bulb growth is set by temperature, and if you droop over the tops of the garlic or shallots, you're starving it of being able to make the bulb bigger. So the actual bulb on garlic doesn't really develop until summertime. So that shift in the soil temperature, the daylight hours and the outside temperature, once it starts getting warm, so garlic is usually harvested between November right through to February, depending on where you are on climate-wise. So the thing with garlic, Frank, is not to overwater it at this point in time because the bulb can rot. So, right. Yeah, and the same with shallots. So you've got to be really careful with how much water you're giving them from this point. So
okay, my shallot stems are really thick.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd pull them.
Oh, okay.
Take one up and see what the bulb is like, what the shallot is like.
Yep.
Just sacrifice one. Well, you don't have to. I mean, you can eat it. You don't need to sacrifice it. You don't need to wait for a full moon and get a little slab out and a scalpel. No, you can put it in a pot instead, Frank.
Okay, no worries. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay. Good luck. Bye-bye. Good luck with that. Thanks, Frank. Now, just a quick round of texts. Mairead, I hope I've pronounced that properly. Help! It can be fine for months. Then almost overnight, they get massacred. I get the veggie dust out, but it's too late. Have grandkids here regularly, so I'm reluctant to keep the dust on permanently. Is there any other way to keep them moth caterpillar free? This is geraniums.
Oh, yeah. Now, that little... it's attacking the leaves because there's another caterpillar, Amber, that just gets in when the bud is first forming.
Right.
It gets into the bud and, you know, the flower never opens up. So you see the buds and you get very excited and then you go, that's gone.
Sad.
Okay, so you need wasps. So
easy.
You need to get
white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. They're everywhere.
They're all about the place. So I reckon so you need predatory wasps. Now, if you go on a website and you just Google in bugs for bugs, there are three places that will pop up and they have predatory wasps that you buy in a larvae form and then you release the wasps.
We release them,
but they have to have a food source, so stop using the powder now so the population builds up. And these caterpillars here, they're the ones with the anal claspers. There's a lot of anal clasping
going on. Anal clasping at this point today runs the risk of derailing me completely. So, Mairead, you need to go and get some predatory wasps.
And they lay their eggs inside the caterpillars and then we know what happens then. It's just one big horror story. They eat their way all the way through the caterpillar and pop out.
Now, I would like you to consider the note that I just passed you at the back of the class.
I'm thinking.
This Pam says, good morning. I live in a retirement village with lovely gardens. We also have small individual gardens. I'm so disappointed because I keep losing petunias, vincas, and now my lovely geraniums. The culprits seem to be tiny black bugs as small as grains of sand. I'm so worried that it will spread to the main gardens. I've been spraying with a commercial garlic solution. What else could I do? Hope you can help, says Pam.
Okay, well, I'm afraid to say the commercial garlic solution is going to do diddly squat, Pam. Okay, so the little black bugs, I don't know if they're going to be some sort of aphid. That could be black aphid because they're about the size of a grain of sand. What you need to do is you need to switch across to a pyrethrum based spray. Pyrethrum, you can get a natural pyrethrum and that should do the trick.
Okay, good luck with that. Joy is in Albany. Good morning to you, Joy.
Hello, how are you? Hello, Joy. Hi, Sabrina. I'm just driving up to Perth. I just had a question. I recently went out to get a fertiliser. I won't say its name.
Yep.
And I don't want to cause hysteria either.
Oh, no, we don't want any hysteria here, Joy. Let me tell you.
Tom Jones or something.
No hysteria. But, yes, I'd heard that there was a multinational company that had purchased.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to stop it? I did contact Costa.
Yeah.
But, he wasn't aware of it. But.
No. Unfortunately, it's all done and dusted, Joy. It breaks my heart because it was sensational West Australian product that supported farmers. But no, it's all kaput
done
now.
And dusted.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have one more question.
Yeah.
I've got a client who has a mulberry tree. I was just wondering when to prune them and how much to prune. They're probably the trunk is around 20 centimetres in diameter.
Yeah.
And it's about 1.5 metres high, so it's quite a big tree, but I just, want to know when to prune it.
You can hear Sabrina's joints squeaking in the background. She needs a bit of WD-40.
I'm so professional. Now, I still don't know how technology works. I don't know how when you do play with your phone, stuff just comes out of it.
Okay.
I don't know how that happens. I'll get a lesson in it at some point in time. But back to your mulberry tree question. So has it shot? Is it full of leaf at present?
When I go there next, I'll have a look.
Okay, if it's already shot, it's too late. You usually do it midwinter when it's bare, and then you can prune as hard as you want. Now that it's coming into summer, you can't do a hard prune because it will get sunburned.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll lose all your fruit as well, which is.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so winter, midwinter.
Yep, midwinter. Thank you, Joy.
Thanks, Joy. Did you arrive at an answer to the question that I passed you on the notes?
Yeah, I know, but now I've...
Can you write an answer me there and I'll just blabber away? Do you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
This. It'll give us 15 seconds.
Breakfast with Mark Gibson.
Revealed just how little we trust politicians. Plus, grab your passport, the return of an iconic TV show. Monday from 5 a.m.
720 ABC Radio Perth.
And you are listening to Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham straight from the poop deck of the Roots and Shoots good ship SS Rooter and Shooter from the Fronds with Benefits.
Yep.
Now, who have we got here? We have Simon from Safety Bay with a lime tree question.
Hello, Simon.
Good morning, ladies. Yeah, what it is, I've got a nice lots of lemon limes out the front, little one, and it's produced heaps and heaps of limes.
Yeah.
And I've got another one out the back, and it's like, I'm guessing it's 3 years old now. It's 6.5 foot tall, almost the same wide, and it covers in flowers and drops a lot every year.
And is it lots of lemons as well, or it's a lime?
No, it's a lime, sorry.
Okay, so what happens, Simon, is lime trees have been created to really irritate gardeners. So what they do is they're given a 6-year contract to get us all excited by flowering and then either dropping the fruit when it's very, very formed or just not forming fruit at all. It'll do that. The lime trees will do that for 6 years and then they must feel the vibration of the axe coming towards them or the reciprocating saw.
I have threatened it, to be honest.
Just about every gardener I know, including myself, had to wait 6 years for the fruit to actually stick on the tree and give us something. So... I would all I can advise is patience. Just patience is what you're going to have. And I would just keep that lawnmower just laid right up close to the tree. You will get them eventually. Some people use a liquid potassium spray, and that can often help. But yeah.
Okay. I'll tell it then. I'll say you've got three more years, otherwise you're going.
Yep, that's the job.
Good work.
That's the job.
Stuart is in Doubleview, and we have some photos from Stuart here of pretty lovely garden and a very nice swimming pool. Stuart, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What
How
is
are
it
you, ladies?
You, great. Well, what we is are it you would splendid. Like to know that relates to these photos? Look,
this is definitely a garden of neglect, if the truth be known.
Right.
I just want to get some information about different mulches.
Yes.
You actually visited our neighbours a couple of years ago and gave them some advice.
Right.
So we're up on the hill in Doubleview.
Yeah.
And I've tried bark. We've tried the lupins. Just wanted to know sort of what's best for. We're going a bit of a natural garden out the front, and then we've got the jasmine and things down the back and a few flowers.
Yeah.
Whether you can get a one size fits all.
Yep, you can. So so you can use pea straw, pea hay, lupin mulch, lucerne. Now you can use those on everything including native gardens.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use a wood based mulch, I would only buy it bagged because you know that it will be polyphagous free.
Yeah.
And don't buy it directly from tree loppers because you don't know if it's going to be treated or not.
Yeah.
The good thing about all the straw and hay is that it breaks down within a year, but it really feeds the soil, and most of it will have a component of nitrogen in it. And it the worms absolutely love it, Stuart.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the mulch around the pool, if it's the bark, it gets like a white fungus.
Yeah. Because it's all carbon, so the fungi is there trying to break it down. That's what I like the straw in the hay. I think it's and you
so
can
you
get
buy that in the big bags and
yep,
spread it all around.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Fantastic.
Okay. Hi. Beautiful.
We'll
Thank you very much.
More on the text line. Let's have a look here. I've got to read this out. Usually I don't like to blow sunshine up, but, you know, why not? Hi, Sabrina and Amber. Thanks for an amazingly beautiful show. You're welcome. Just a word of encouragement for the lady whose name I have forgotten with the wisteria. She may not want to bother, but the big wisteria can be successfully moved because we moved a 100-year-old wisteria recently and successfully. We had the wonderful help from Peter from the Bonsai Emporium in West Swan Road. Tried to send a photo, not sure if it came through. It even flowered beautifully 6 weeks after it was put in its new position. Annie, well done.
Annie, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, it's beautiful.
Wow.
Absolutely beautiful.
Friends with Benefits is kicking off.
It certainly is. So now, if you can access the original wisteria that her husband's not so keen on and get enough root ball, then you're going to have to do a fair bit of pruning because it sounds like it's, you know, if it's 70 years old, it's going to be robust.
Robust. And
like myself.
Yes. Well, I mean, I heard your joints creaking. Alan is in West Perth. Hello, Alan.
Morning, girls.
Tell us a story.
Well, I told you the story a couple of weeks ago. I sent you a couple of pics, and that's the grass tree that's, I don't think it's going to survive, Sabrina.
No, not.
But I've got that little beast behind growing from the base.
Yep.
And I've heard you talk about something similar in the past, and it comes up, and I've got to cut it out every now and again. It's really spiky. So I know it's a foreign thing related to, I think it's the imitation pear apple tree above.
Yeah.
So what do I do in this instance, Sabrina?
With all the spiky bits that are coming up or...
Yeah, all the spiky bits.
Yeah, you're just going to have to keep cutting them off. Because that's the... is it the rootstock of that tree?
Well,
or is it a separate plant?
No, it's the it's not a separate plant.
Or is it coming off the grass tree? No.
Maybe it killed the grass tree as well. Maybe that's the reason. But no, it just comes from the base of that tree. We put that tree in about 5 years or about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Because there was a box tree there and the Water Corporation cut all the roots and fell down on my car.
Well, that's, I mean, that's one way of getting rid of a box tree, but, you know, that's going to the extreme. I can't see from the picture what the spiky thing is, but what's happened, I reckon, is the seed of whatever that is has been in the pot when you bought the tree. So the seed's germinated and it's popped up. But I don't think you want it there, personally. I would be taking it out. So you might have to use the old glyphosate on that.
Okay.
And your grass tree, I'm afraid to say,
it's dead.
Is definitely gone to a different place.
Gone to
in
God.
A different
it's
form.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, it was robust 6 months ago. You made mention of the amount of water and you said for me to put an umbrella over the top, but I'd be too embarrassed to do that in the street because people ask more questions. and there's a strange
fact
already.
To consider.
You were trying to set me up.
Oh, come on, Alan.
Look. Well, you see my text line says roots and buttes.
Yeah.
You two are. You're not shoots, you're buttes.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you. Well, I haven't helped you at all, actually.
Hey,
but
Alan, this is so far out of left field. I have a friend who was divorced probably 5 or 6 years ago, and she went, as people do when they are in this emotional state, I do not endorse this in any way, she went to see a fortune teller, and the fortune teller said she was going to meet a man called Alan. So now, Alan, every time I'm out with her walking in the street, I will randomly shout, Alan, to see if anyone turns around that we should perhaps go and have a chat to. Are you married, Alan?
As of an hour ago I was. Depends who's listening to this call.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You've got a lovely front garden there. Yes. Thank you for being such a fun participant.
Good to have a laugh. Well done,
girls. Good on you. Thanks
Alan.
Bye.
Phil, Alan!
There never is an Alan. So I was just excited to find an Alan. Phil is in Mandurah. Phil, what would you like to drag out of the brain of the person sitting next to me?
Hi, Sabrina. You solve lots and lots of my problems. I'm interested. Can you germinate an avocado seed at home?
Yep.
And if so, how? And, like, they've got a pointy end and a rounded end, so which way's up?
That's very botanical, isn't it? Yep. Well, the pointy end's the up. Now, avocado seeds, if you just throw an avocado seed in the garden bed somewhere, it'll germinate itself. They germinate readily. So make sure that you've eaten all the avocado because you don't want to waste it. And then what you can do, you can even lay it sideways in the ground.
Right.
Or you have the pointy bit up and just with a part of the seed exposed, so you need the top third exposed.
Right.
You'll find they germinate in people's compost heaps. So they're pretty good to go. Now, the only problem with growing from seed is you don't know what sort of an avocado that you will get, and it can take them up to 12 years to flower and fruit. So if you're my age, you would never take that risk because you'd never get to eat an avocado off your tree. But, I mean, if you just want it for the tree, they're very beautiful, or you grow it and then you graft a known variety on top of your seedling.
Right.
How's that sound?
Well, good. I think it's just the satisfaction of actually getting something that works. You know, that's what I like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so much fun growing stuff from seed.
Sure is.
All my kids have planted apples and oranges from seed.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, so, good stuff. Thanks for your help.
My pleasure, Phil.
Burst into song in a minute.
Bye.
Alan. Bye. I was going to start singing Circle of Life, but I thought better of it.
Yeah.
Flo is going to save me from myself with her Grevillea Olivaceae. Is that how you pronounce
Ooh,
that?
Oh, very good. Ooh. Oh, look at you go, you little botanical whiz.
I can pronounce it, that's as far as I get. Morning, Flo.
Good morning. How articulate was that?
I know. She's on the money, this girl, I tell you.
The apprentice.
Might put her on the payroll.
I've got two of these little fellas and they're about a metre high.
Yeah.
And are they going to flower?
Yeah.
These look like an olive tree.
Well, that's why they're called Olivaceae, because the
I
leaf.
I get that.
Yeah. So, in fact, Amber was about to tell you that too.
Uh-huh.
But now... have you got the red, yellow or orange Grevillea Olivaceae?
I've got an orange one and I've got a red one.
Okay, so the red one flowers more than the other two. If they get – now, the thing about the Olivaceae is the flowers don't come on the end tips. They actually flower on the inside of the bush, which is why the little New Holland honey eaters make their nests inside the Olivaceae, because they're safe for feeding on the nectar. So sometimes people think they're not flowering, but the flowering's inside. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
But they will definitely, definitely flower, and I would definitely give them a bit of slow-release native fertiliser because they will, yeah, that really helps with flowering.
Excellent.
Ah. And is it short for Florence? Cool.
Probably, yes, it is.
I love that name, and I have a sculpture in my garden, and I've called her Florence.
Aww.
After
I'm named
a very.
After my mum.
Aww, it's such a beautiful. No one calls their people Florence.
They do.
Oh, no, it's beautiful.
Olivia
I love
Holmes's
Florence.
Girl is Florence. You could be Florence of Albania. Did that make sense?
I reckon that's great.
Florence of Albania. Flo, hopefully Sabrina's
Bye.
Helped. Bye.
Bye, Flo.
Now listen to this. Trevor and Zuby says, yes. My father, Alan, just celebrated his 90th, but he's still happily married. Perhaps all the Alans can get in touch.
Will you take an Alan
Allens.
With a with
all
a 1L?
All the single Alans. All the single Alans.
All the single Alans. All the single Alans.
Put hup, your hands hup, up.
Come on down.
I was trying to get you to name a song that we might find in our archive. That was what
I
was ferreting around.
I know,
was.
and the sound of creaking bones.
And it all just got too hard.
I know. Are we going to bring it back?
Yeah, we are.
Are we?
There, I said it.
I'm so excited.
It is so exciting.
Sabrina's pick. I hope Gianni, our boss, isn't listening.
Why did you utter his name? You just invoked him. Like you stand in front of the mirror in the bathroom and say Gianni three times and he's there.
And he appears.
And he looks like bloody Super Mario Brothers in November.
He does.
He does.
Absolutely.
Liesl is in Chapman Hill with 24 roses.
Oh, hello, Liesl.
Hello. I'm sorry I'm not Alan, but I am bummer.
We'll still talk to you.
Oh, my beautiful mum told me to ring you and yes. Yes,
she's a woman of great taste.
She is, which is why I followed her advice.
Yes.
So is this you rescued 24 roses? Is that you?
I did. That's me. I did also
can you tell us that story?
Yes. There was a Facebook ad, actually, and everybody at work knows that I love roses. And they said, Liesl, there's these free roses going. They're going to go to the rubbish tip if no one gets them. So my beautiful husband just rolled his eyes and said, of course, and we dug them out.
Yep.
We tried to preserve the root ball. Some of them, like, it was a very hard job because they're probably 20, 25 years old.
Yeah.
12 standards. The standards are doing worse than the others. And it was about 24 days ago we transplanted them and planted them straight into the ground. We put compost there. We cut them back by half.
Yep.
But they're absolutely – all the leaves are completely crispy of all the standards.
Yeah.
The others are okay. Like, they're not crispy.
Yep.
They're hanging
yep.
up there. I'm not sure if there's anything else I can do. Oh, and I watered them with sea salt.
Yeah, okay. So, Liesl, you've done everything you can possibly do. Now, what it is transplant shock, and that's mm-hmm. to be expected. So the big thing is to – so don't fertilize them. I would give them some soil microbes, if you can get hold of them, just around the base. Keep up the water. I don't want you fertilising them because they've probably dropped all their leaves, so they can't really do much with the fertiliser. You can get – there's a fantastic concoction of Go-Go Girls – In a bottle. This is a subtle hint. So if you go looking for Go-Go Girls without the girls, it's a drench that you use. Amber's looking at me.
Completely
remember Go-Go Girls? I always wanted to be a Go-Go Girl.
I wanted to be a backup singer.
Did you?
Poor Liesl.
Oh, Liesl. Anyway, you just want your roses to survive. So get the girls in a bottle. That aren't the girls in a bottle, but they're goers. Half strength, dilute it in a watering can and drench every single rose with that, and then do it again in 3 weeks' time. So that's the only thing I want you to do with them. Now, you can scratch the bark with your fingernail, and if you see green, they're alive and well, and they will come back. I have to say, roses are really tough plants.
Okay, they are still green, which is good.
Fantastic.
The ones that have still got foliage, should I, and they're all crispy, should I take those off
no,
or leave it?
No, just leave everything, okay. Yep, just leave everything there, yep.
Okay, yep. I'm talking to them, I'm willing them, I'm praying
that's the girl, that's it. Yep, little songs, you know.
I think what you should do is dress all in white with a flower crown and under the full moon. Right. With your friends, form a ring around them and dance.
Like a bog witch would do.
I'm going to tell you a story. Like a bog witch, yeah. I know lots of interesting people. There was some building or some nasty industrial thing that was going to be built in the area that I was living in, and this one of the people in the street wanted to cast a spell. And so we all had to go to Sue's house up the road. Wear white and a flower crown and dance in a bloody ring. I was so not on board with that. Anyway, imagine my delight when Pamela's sarong fell off. She continued to dance around in her undies. Liesl, good luck. It worked.
I love it. Do you know, when we lived in New Guinea, my mum learnt to make voodoo dolls. And she actually used to make them too.
Liesl, I'm going to save your ears from this misery of Sabrina's mother, who was not a good woman. I mean... She had to be something special that produced you.
This is so true. And my sister.
Voodoo dolls.
Who's so much older than me. Yeah, she fully got into voodoo. I reckon if she could have shrunk people's heads and put it on a pike, she would have.
Who was she trying to...
So when I teach her, have I got to turn the wireless off?
Oh.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you do, because we can hear you right now. That might be one of the voodoo dolls.
What was she trying to do?
Well, when we lived in New Guinea, it was still very, very tribal. I mean, there were still literally heads on pikes. And it was, they practiced black magic. It still happens today, in fact. Anyway, we knew, so when I was born, the local witch doctor cast a spell over me as a protection spell because I was the only white pickaninny in the village, as it were, and children are revered because the child mortality rate was very high. So children are highly revered, and I was this pasty white little pickaninny and very valuable. So they had to have guards around all the three of us, the three kids, but me in particular because I was a fresh little piece of meat. And And so my dad was really friendly with all the local tribe and got very friendly with the witch doctor, who was just some crazy person. Anyway, so they did all sorts of black magic, which my mother thought was a fantastic talent to pick up. And when we got back to Australia, she made voodoo dolls of people that really gave her the...
Tom Tits.
The Tommy Titties, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember helping her make some dolls, but I thought they were dolls. I didn't realise that they were going to have pins stuck in them.
Did you have to go and get a bit of hair from someone's brush?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Piece of fabric, piece of hair, bit of
blood.
Times
were rough when we were living.
Fascinating though.
There was Ouija boards at my grandparents' place.
Oh, Ouija boards.
Yeah, not good. Max.
But we are white bog witches. I wanted to let everyone know we're good bog witches.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going there, Max? Have you enjoyed our little tales of old?
Well, I had to stop work, you know, waiting for you lot to stop chatting.
Well, what can we – let's get – we're going to give you our attention now.
Right. I first heard you on the wireless years ago.
Yeah.
I thought you were in your late 30s.
Oh,
right?
God. Well, I would have been then.
Oh, no, it wasn't that long ago. And I met you in Brunswick.
Oh, okay.
We were doing a show. And I go, right, you're the same age as me.
Oh, right? There you go, Max.
Yeah. Do you have a sock over your phone at this point, Max? Or are you in a bucket or something?
No.
What's going on? Is the phone in your neck?
Oh, don't be so mean. It's all right, Max.
It just sounds muffled, and it is, but technical standards are part of my job. Shocking as that might seem, I do like to uphold a high technical standard, and I'm sure anyone could come up with 3 points of evidence that I don't. Sorry.
Anyway,
Sorry,
tell us about your lime tree, Max.
No, first about this phone, because the government turns 3G off, we got to run out of the Wi-Fi to work the phones down here.
I knew it was something.
That makes sense.
So we just forgotten people down south.
Oh, I'm sorry for being mean.
Yeah, it's all right. We love you, Max.
That's why you're still looking for Alan. Because you're just a mean person sometimes.
Why she doesn't start making voodoo dolls, Max, because you'll be the first one up.
No, oh, brilliant.
No, I'm happily married. I'm fine.
Now, listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Let me help you with your lime tree.
Right. My lime tree, we've been having limes on it for the last 15 years and we have about 400 or 500 limes a year.
Yeah.
I'm an avocado grower and I air blast it at least half a dozen times a year with fertilisers and all that sort of stuff. So I've never had a problem with a lime tree.
Yeah.
So it just air blasts and it fruits all the time.
Air blast? You mean...
Like a big fans that come out the back of the machines and blast air.
Air blasted. And you reckon that's what gives it all the good fruit?
Who knows? It just does it.
Does it? It must move all the pollen around. Two things, Max. Number one, it can just make the pollen foof all over the place. Number two, if there's any pests there, it'll bugger them off. I reckon that's genius.
Well, we don't air blast it when it's in flower.
Okay, right, all right.
For pollen and all that, it's like the avocado, you don't air blast it then.
Well,
now,
I don't
another
know.
Question you got.
Yep.
I've got a, not the local tree, the other one.
What tree?
An olive.
Yes.
And it won't grow, and it's about 6 years old and it doesn't grow big olives.
Right.
How hard am I going to prune it?
You can prune olives as hard as you want. So you, Max, are allowed to bring out the chainsaw. You can go hard, mate, but not at this time of the year, not before summer. I think we've made up for Max.
Have we made up for that, for being mean, a bit mean to you? Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You live in the city.
Thanks, Max. I honestly wasn't trying to chat him up. His name's not Alan. And it's not me looking for an Alan. It's one of my besties.
Now, I'm going to not be here over the next three Roots and Shoots Saturdays because I will be in Tasmania. But beautiful Mark Tuchek, he'll have stories of old.
Oh, yes.
So,
and we will squeeze them out of him. See if his mummy ever made voodoo dolls. The sporty boys and their sporty balls are standing by to get into your ears with all their good news. I once mistook – I'll tell you that story next week. It's 10 o'clock from Sad and Me. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.